What happens when two...
I found this adoption agency.
...turns into five.
She comes with two younger siblings.
In an instant.
Three kids?
And one?
From the creators of Daddy's Home.
We might have a little bit of a knack for this.
Oh, no!
I beg to differ.
...comes Instant Family, the feel-good movie for everyone.
Everything's gonna be okay.
Thanks, Daddy.
Starring Mark Wahlberg.
Should we give them a kiss goodnight?
You guys are overthinking this.
Rose Byrne and Octavia Spencer. Instant Family. In cinemas February 14. Certificate 12A.
Thursday, November 8, 2018, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado. If you are tired of that same old sports talk, if you are tired of the same old nonsense that you hear on your local sports radio, where the callers are yelling into their phones, and there's just a lot of arguments and nonsense, stay here for a while. You're going to like it a lot better. We talk sports with a dose of common sense. We'd rather just laugh at a lot of what comes out in the sports world because some of it is actually funny. We are happy to have you here with us today. Happy Thursday to you. And, you know, happy birthday to former Florida State football coach Bobby Bowden. He was actually born today, November 8th, 1929. Yeah, during his time at Florida State, of course, Bowden led Florida State to an Associated Press and Coaches Poll national title in 1993. He also won that BCS National Championship in 1999, as well as 12 Atlantic Coast Conference Championships since Florida State joined that conference back in 1991. Now, after he had that rough season back in 2009, a lot of questioning fans, a lot of people saying he was too old, a lot of cracks about how he wasn't even facing the field during the games. Aww. Bowden stepped down just weeks after he had turned 80 years old. He was actually still allowed to make his final coaching appearance. He coached in the 2010 Gator Bowl game back on January 1st, 2010, and he beat his former program, West Virginia. Bobby Bowden's career coaching record, of course, we have had a number of games that were vacated due to various incidents, but the record is 346 wins, 123 losses, and 4 ties. Bowden is second all-time in career wins behind Joe Paterno, who is sitting up there at 409. Just a little perspective on what Bowden and Paterno did. The next active coach on the list for most wins, Nick Saban. And he's back at number 12 with 227 wins. Hey, I'm not sure we're ever going to see anyone catch Bowden, let alone Paterno. They started so young. They were able to stay at one place for so long. We just don't see that anymore. I don't know if we're ever going to see an era like we saw then, where Paterno and Bowden were just the faces of their programs. I think those days just might be over. Hey, if you'd like to contact the show, tell us your favorite Bobby Bowden, I don't know, scandal, whatever. We would love to hear from you. You can email us, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or feel free to reach out to us on Twitter or Facebook. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. Got a question? Got a comment? Maybe you have a suggestion for a segment you would like us to cover? Feel free to reach out. We would love to hear from you. You know, we do have a lot to get to. We've got a few stories coming out in the sports world today that I want to discuss. We just might have to discuss a little Major League Baseball. I know we don't do it very often, but we might have to discuss a little Major League Baseball. And as we do on most Thursdays, we do have a few sports media overreactions of the week, because it seems like every single week we are being told things by the sports media world. And on Thursdays, we like to look a little closer and see if they make any sense. So we've got a lot to get to today on The Dose. A couple of things coming out in the world of breaking news, and probably the biggest story that is out there today is this. In what can only be described as an effort to completely derail their season, the New Orleans Saints will sign veteran wide receiver Dez Bryant to a 1-year deal. The former Dallas Cowboys wide receiver is scheduled to sign that deal today and hopes that he can prove he still has something left, and maybe that would turn into a future free agent deal as well. Now, despite the fact the Saints are 7-1 and they look like a contender in the NFC, we just saw them beat the undefeated team that was still remaining over there. The Saints have just one wide receiver on their roster with more than 12 catches this year. Of course, that's Michael Thomas. Now, Bryant, who turned 30 this past Sunday, He's been on the open market since he was released by Dallas back in April, and no one signed him. Some of it is you wonder if he's wanting too much money. Because remember, he was due to get $12.5 million. And then there are some other things at play as well. Because Dez was among the best wide receivers in the league in his prime. Remember, he recorded three straight seasons where he had at least 1,200 yards receiving and 12 touchdowns from 2012 to 2014. He went to the Pro Bowl in 2013, 14, and 16. But in the last few years, we've seen his production start to drop. He's had foot and knee injuries. He had 69 catches for just over 800 yards in 16 games last year. And the Cowboys said that at times, Dez could be a distraction in the locker room. Hey, with the Saints, they do have some veteran leaders. I don't know if I'm so much worried about the distractions. I'm more worried about that slipping production. Dez has struggled to create separation from defensive backs. He has struggled to go up and get the ball. And he doesn't seem like he's willing to change the style in which he plays. He still thinks he's a number one wide receiver. Now, the Saints are going to be looking to him to be their number two wide receiver. The problem is he may be more suited to be like a number four wide receiver. So we'll see how that all goes down in New Orleans. I don't know. If I'm New Orleans, I don't know if I want to mess with that whole chemistry thing. We'll see if that works out. Also, some news in the NFL. Defensive lineman Bruce Irvin, who was released by the Oakland Raiders because, I don't know, John Gruden hates everyone on that roster and just wants new toys to play with. Well, Irvin has signed with the Atlanta Falcons. He says he turned down more lucrative financial offers from both the Pittsburgh Steelers and the New England Patriots to go sign instead with Atlanta. That's because Irvin is from Atlanta. And he says it was his dream to go back and play in Atlanta. Irvin does have 40 career sacks. He's played 7 seasons in the league with Oakland and also with Seattle. And we know the Atlanta Falcons really need a pass rush. They've only got 17 sacks on the entire season, 5th lowest in the NFL. And Bruce Irvin has actually played for Falcons head coach Dan Quinn back when he was the defensive coordinator in Seattle. Think about this for 1 second. Dez going to the Saints. Irvin going to the Falcons. The Philadelphia Eagles are finally starting to get healthy. Hey, the NFC is about to be insane to watch. We are getting ready to head down the final stretch of this season, and I think the NFC is going to be just wide open. I have no idea what to expect, but I know this. It's going to be fun to watch. Finally, the NBA has reached an agreement with the NBA Players Association. They say they are going to broadcast the 2019 All-Star Draft selection process. Now, the league has yet to finalize a date for the event, but January 30th or 31st has emerged as the two potential targets for a TNT broadcast. Now, you might remember this. Last year was the first time the NBA used a draft process to fill out the All-Star squads. LeBron James and Steph Curry selected their teams from an All-Star pool, the results of which came from, you know, conference-based voting and coaches' selection. But after holding that draft behind closed doors, LeBron and Steph agreed this should be on TV. Now, I like this idea. I like it a lot. But I do have one small problem with this. Here's the struggle that I'm having, because I like the idea. I want to see what they're really thinking. I want to see what they're really going to say. But I don't want the made-for-TV version. I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
Yes, I can. Shut up, Jack. I want to see LeBron saying like, man, I'm not getting ready to draft Tyree. That punk stole my thunder in Cleveland. And I want to hear Steph say how much he hates Chris Paul's guts or something. We're not going to get that. We're going to get the silly G-rated version. Oh, man, I love this guy. Oh, he's one of my favorites. Me and him are great friends. I don't want to see that. That's not going to be the same thing. Yes, it will be better than nothing. And maybe, keep your fingers crossed, maybe we can get a few like awkward pauses. Like you see the next guy up and you know LeBron does not want to take Draymond Green, but he kind of has to. And you just see him like, I guess Draymond. All right. You know, like when you're picking teams and you're a kid and you got stuck with the one kid that didn't even know how to hold the bat. Yeah, maybe we'll get some of that. And that would at least make me happy. Just some awkward pauses at least. It would be better than nothing. Hey, coming back, the Major League Baseball season is, of course, over as the Boston Red Sox wrapped it up a couple of weeks ago. We have already seen Clayton Kershaw sign a contract extension. But what else could we be expecting this offseason? Plus, we need to get to our sports media overreactions of the week. We will get to all of that when we get back. So like I said, the Major League Baseball season is now complete. The Boston Red Sox are the champs. We've already heard, maybe Boston is one of the greatest teams in the history of ever. But as we go into next season, there are a number of teams out there, and there are a number of players out there that are definitely worth watching. Now, I know the season's going to be starting probably pretty soon. That's just how it goes. But what are some of the off-season stories we might want to keep an eye on, just as sports fans in general? Because there are a few noteworthy things out there you're going to want to kind of watch. And I know I can't sit there and watch baseball every day for 9 months. Doesn't work for me. But I do kind of want to keep an eye on where some of these things end up. Here are a couple of things just to kind of look for in this baseball offseason. One of the things I want to see, who is going to get in to the Pro Baseball Hall of Fame? Because this is the final year on the ballot for Edgar Martinez. Martinez received 70.4% of the vote last year, so he could make it this year. But you also have guys like Mike Mussina, Roger Clemens, and of course, Barry Bonds. And you know they're hoping to get some votes too. And this year we have a few people that are going to be first-timers on the ballot, like Roy Halladay and Todd Helton. Hey, both of them have the numbers to get into Cooperstown. But also don't forget, the number one new player that is going to be on the ballot this year, yes, New York Yankees reliever Mariano Rivera, the greatest closer of all time, and I don't even know who else would be in the conversation. Rivera is getting in. There are some who are saying, hey, Rivera should be a first ballot unanimous choice. He's going to be the guy that gets in. But you know how these baseball writers work, right? Like, they're all kind of pompous. And I think they feel like when they get this chance to do these votes, it's their chance to get back at the athletes that they couldn't be. So they don't let anyone in on the first ballot. I mean, they kind of try to act like they're the local cop, just kind of harassing you a little bit. They're going to let you go. They'll probably just give you a warning, but they're just going to kind of be a pain as long as you're there. Now, any candidate picked would be inducted July 21st, along with any other players elected by the Baseball Writers Association of America. That vote is going to be announced in late January. Just kind of something to keep in mind during the Major League Baseball offseason. Here's another thing I want to see. Where will some of the top pitchers land? Yes, we already know Clayton Kershaw is staying in Los Angeles, but we have a number of other pitchers that could move around. And when they do, or if they do, it's going to start this nasty chain reaction of moves around the league. Because the teams that lose those players, they're going to have to scramble to find replacements. The Boston Red Sox have two free agent pitchers. Craig Kimbrel and Nathan Eovaldi are both going to be free agents. The Houston Astros have to decide what they're going to do with Dallas Keuchel and Charlie Morton. The Cleveland Indians, Andrew Miller is going to be a free agent. The Yankees are going to try to decide if they're going to re-sign Zach Britton or David Robertson. What are the Colorado Rockies going to do with Adam Ottavino? We remember him coming up with some big innings during that stretch run for them. Who could get Kelvin Herrera? There could be a lot of movement among Major League Baseball pitchers this offseason. And maybe not starting guys, all of them. A lot of them are relievers. But we know that where baseball is trending, we are starting to see those relievers play so much of a bigger role now. Going to be very interesting to see where do these pitchers end up, because there are teams out there with money. Going to talk about that right now, because besides those pitchers, and you saw, there are some decent names out there. Who is going to go land the big prizes in free agency? Because remember, infielder Manny Machado and outfielder Bryce Harper are also on the market, and they could be huge acquisitions for whoever pulls them in. Machado is only 26. He can play third base. He can play shortstop. He has a great track record for production. He's been very durable, not a ton of injuries. But We also saw some of the bad side to Manny Machado while he was playing with the Dodgers. In this 2018 postseason, there are times he kind of looks like a spoiled brat. There are times he kind of looks like a prima donna. He doesn't run out ground balls. He celebrates at home plate. Even when one of his deep fly balls doesn't leave the park, he's standing there celebrating. Now, could his behavior make some teams wonder, I don't know if he's really worth like $30 million. That's a lot of money to pay. But you know, teams like the Yankees, the Phillies, and yes, probably even the Dodgers will try to bring him back. Whoever gets Manny Machado going to land a pretty big fish there. Then you have Bryce Harper, who is not even 26 years old yet. And hey, Harper is a tremendous talent. He's got a huge resume. He is going to get paid a ton of money. And we know it's probably going to be the same teams chasing him. The Phillies, the Dodgers, maybe the Cubs. And you know who I'm wondering if they would chase him? Would the New York Yankees chase Bryce Harper? Would the New York Yankees say, you know what? Giancarlo Stanton didn't do that much for us. Could we go lefty-righty with Harper and Judge instead of Giancarlo Stanton? I'm just throwing that out there. I don't know. We'll see. The interesting part about Bryce Harper is he's probably not going to be getting anywhere near that $400 million that we thought he was going to be demanding, because Harper hasn't accomplished nearly as much as we thought he would have by now. We were looking at Bryce Harper just 2 years ago, maybe, and saying, this guy is a generational talent. Well, it hasn't quite turned out that way. Maybe what he needs is just a change of scenery. Maybe that would be highly beneficial to his game. Getting out of Washington, getting away from the Nationals, maybe that's exactly what Bryce Harper needs. But whoever lands, Harper or Machado, you would think are probably going to be at least in the hunt, at least in contention for next season in Major League Baseball. Now, the season, like I said, I don't know, probably starts in like 2 weeks. So this stuff's going to have to wrap up pretty fast. We're going to see some off-season movement in Major League Baseball, and it's probably going to start happening pretty quickly. Okay, as we do most every single Thursday, we have to get to our Thursday overreactions of the week. You know, it seems like every single week, the sports media world is trying to jam some silly things down our throats. Maybe it's national, maybe it's worldwide, maybe it's even local here in Denver, and we try to discuss some of the silly things they are saying, and they're trying to convince us that we should believe. And so on Thursdays, we like to take a little closer look at them and say, okay, is this just more nonsense?
Loud noises!
Is this just more silliness from the sports media world trying to generate clicks? Most of the time it is. Let's take a look at what we have today. And most of what we had today is in the NFL. One of the things we are hearing, and we heard it as soon as the game finished, Sunday night, the New England Patriots faced the Green Bay Packers, and that game proved who the GOAT was. Who is the greatest of all-time quarterback? Tom Brady and the New England Patriots beat Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. Hey, just goes to show you. Tom Brady is the quarterback that is truly deserving of the title greatest of all time. I wish I was joking, but I heard this from a number of people in the sports media world. Here is my biggest problem. One, a game in late October, early November doesn't prove anything. Let's be real clear about that. But my biggest problem with throwing out Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady as the greatest ever is that Joe Montana, Terry Bradshaw, John Elway, Dan Marino, Peyton Manning, Johnny Unitas, they're all sitting there going, hey, what about us? How did everyone seem to pass us? How did you two get launched ahead of us? How did we get left out? Have you seen our resumes? Now, I realize as sports fans, we have very short memories. Like, we forget what happened last week. We look at the present only. But I saw Joe Montana go undefeated in four Super Bowls. I saw Terry Bradshaw do the same thing, and he saved his best games for those Super Bowls, it seems like. I saw John Elway drag a team without a single Pro Bowler on it to Super Bowls that he had no business being in. Forget the athleticism. Forget the cannon of an arm that Elway had. I saw him win with guys like Sammy Winder and Orson Mobley. I saw Dan Marino stuck on teams without any help offensively. And somehow, he has managed to be one of the most prolific passers statistically in NFL history. How in the world was he doing it? Name the guys he was throwing to, And don't tell me those little tiny Duper and Clayton guys, because those guys aren't even big-time receivers. Both Peyton Manning and Johnny Unitas completely redefined the position. They created their own systems as quarterbacks. Why aren't they in this conversation? So, I like Rodgers. I like Brady a lot. I think they are definitely in the conversation. But let's slow down on some silly game in early November proved who the all-time great was. I'm not sure that that's quite the case. Again, more silliness from the sports media world. Hey, coming back, we are going to continue our Thursday sports media overreactions of the week. Is there a surprise team to watch over in the NFC that maybe we're not paying attention to? Because I heard about one this week. And did my hometown Denver Broncos do a former player dirty? We've got more sports media overreactions to get to today on The Dose.
Technology today has never been smarter, but smart only matters when you put it to good use. Let's put smart to work. Search IBM UK to find out more.
Hey, just a quick reminder that if you have any shopping you need to do, and I hate to bring this up, I really do, but Christmas is coming quickly. I know you don't want to think about that, but it is coming quickly. You might want to head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose, where you can find the latest pop culture collectibles featuring your favorite TV shows, movies, and video games. November's Loot Crate theme is now out. It is called Laboratory. Some truths can only be found under a microscope. Countless experiments in the Loot Crate Laboratory have yielded a collection of cutting-edge gear that exists beyond mortality. Are you ready for the next step? Hey, November's Loot Crate theme features items from BioShock, Westworld, and Better Call Saul. But if none of those franchises interest you, remember, you can go to Loot Crate. You can choose from a huge selection of crates. You can pick a monthly subscription of crates that you can order or skip every single month if you like what they're offering. Or you can just go over to Loot Crate and pick individual items to order. And trust me, they have just about any franchise you can think of. The best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, just be sure you type Daily Dose in the coupon box. We are going to get you 10% off of your order just as a little thank you for tuning into the Daily Dose each and every day. So one of the things that we're hearing locally here in Denver is that former Denver Broncos wide receiver Demaryius Thomas, he kind of got screwed by the Broncos this season. Thomas spent the first 8 years of his career with the Denver Broncos. Then last week when he was traded to the Houston Texans, he went on a local radio show here in Denver and said that he was hurt by the way his tenure here in Denver actually ended. Thomas had this to say, "It just hurt me. I'm emotional. I'm empty still." He said that he felt misled. Before the season started, the trade talk was going, and nobody said anything to me. Why come to me Monday when it's the same talk? He says that Denver head coach Vance Joseph knew he was going to be traded, and when he asked him about it, he said that wasn't true, not to listen to the rumors. Thomas said, "How is it not true? So we're telling stories to each other now? I thought we were going to be men about this." Thomas also said he was very hurt when he was not voted a team captain. It instead went to quarterback Case Keenum and center Matt Paradis. Here's what Thomas had to say about that. "And then, like, man, I've been here 9 years and I can't even be a captain? I was on guys, and I guess they didn't want it that way. But then I had a meeting, it was like, okay, I'm going to be a captain. I go to a meeting room, and it's like every player came to me and were like, how are you not a captain? We picked you." It was heartbreaking. Hey, the Denver Broncos kind of did Demaryius dirty. They saw the money that he was owed. They didn't want to pay it. They shipped him out to Houston. They know they have a decent young wide receiver in Cortland Sutton behind him and figured, hey, let's get something for him while we can and save a little money in the process. But let's try to break this down real quick. Demaryius Thomas is mad that head coach Vance Joseph didn't tell him he was going to be traded. Have you watched any Bronco games this year? And maybe you haven't. If you have, you'll know what I'm talking about. Does anyone really think Vance Joseph knows what in the world is going on? Vance Joseph doesn't know what's going on when he watches a replay of a play that just happened. Do you think he knows the inner workings of the front office? Because I've got news for you. He has no idea what's going on. Like I said, he's watching an instant replay, and he has no idea what happened in that play. He doesn't know what John Elway's doing. That's not on him to tell you. Go talk to your front office. And then, Demaryius was mad he wasn't named a captain. But that captain vote is voted on by the players. If you couldn't get your own teammates to vote for you, Demaryius, I don't know what to tell you, dude. Not everyone gets a ribbon. Apparently, they looked at Keenum and Paradis and said, we'd rather have them as captains. Hey, Demaryius Thomas is one of the most talented receivers to ever play in a Broncos uniform. He just wasn't always the toughest. And here is some more evidence of that fact. Another thing that we are hearing this week is that the Dallas Cowboys are done because quarterback Dak Prescott, hey, he's not a franchise quarterback. Without his wide receivers, we can see he's just not a good enough pocket passer to carry this team. So you're telling me that since Dak lost all of this help around him, it's his fault? Yet he doesn't make those decisions. And the fact that the Cowboys try to throw the ball 50 times a game? Again, he doesn't make those decisions. Jerry Jones and Jason Garrett have failed to put Dak in a situation where he has any chance for success. Hey, I'm not saying Dak is ever going to be a great pocket passer. I don't know that that's his game. But stop tying his hands behind his back and then telling him, hey, go try to find a way to win. Troy Aikman is right. The Cowboys do need to be rebuilt. The problem is that they need to be rebuilt without Jerry Jones, and that isn't going to happen. You can't blame all of this on Dak Prescott. Like all of a sudden, Dak Prescott changed his game. He was never that pocket passer. The difference is he had a good tight end. He had Dez Bryant, who was at the time still healthy, and they weren't asking him to throw the ball 50 times. They were handing it to Zeke and letting Dak be a play-action passer. That was working. That's not what they do now. The Dallas Cowboys are a mess, and I don't know how you fix that anytime soon. Finally, we are hearing there could be a surprise team that is coming out of the NFC this year. I'm not sure I'm buying this, but could the Chicago Bears surprise everyone and be the representation for the NFC in the Super Bowl? Hey, they are on top of the NFC North. They are tied with Minnesota. And don't forget, Chicago has been playing right now without pass rusher Khalil Mack. He's still out with that ankle injury. When he gets back and this team matures a little more and plays together a little more, look out. They could be the class of the NFC. And hey, that might be true. I've heard a couple of people on a certain sports network preaching this right now, and they say the Bears are the big dog to watch over in the NFC. There's no question. That Chicago team is very talented defensively. They are loaded. And I really like the way they're running the football. Jordan Howard is a load. He is scoring touchdowns every single week. I like him a lot as well. But I'm still concerned about quarterback Mitchell Trubisky. He is very talented, don't get me wrong. Got a big arm. He can hurt you with his legs as well. But here is a question that I ask you, Daily Dose listener. If I give you a choice of the quarterbacks in the NFC that look like they could be headed toward the postseason, who are you taking? I'll give you a choice. Drew Brees, Cam Newton, Carson Wentz, Kirk Cousins, Jared Goff, Mitchell Trubisky. Okay, let me change the question. You might say, who are you taking first? I'm taking Drew Brees. Who are you taking last? Yeah, me too. Probably Trubisky. Hey, I like the Bears. I like what they're doing. They're heading in the right direction. But that NFC is stacked. It's not going to be easy for any of these teams to win it all, let alone a team with a quarterback that might be talented. We're not quite sure. He has disappeared in some big games. But he doesn't have the experience that some of these other guys have, and that could end up being a tripping point for the Chicago Bears. I like them. Again, I don't love them. Hey, tomorrow is Friday. Of course, we will be looking at the latest sports news and stories. We will have our preview of the weekend in sports, and we will have our Daily Dose Top 5. You know that you have to tune in for that. I'd say thank you all so much for listening to the Daily Dose every day. Thank you for the feedback, for the questions, and the suggestions. Thank you so much for sharing the show. It is appreciated. And if you're not sharing the show, I'm asking you right now, can you please share the show? Let someone know. Tell a friend. Tell a coworker. Tell a family member. We would appreciate that so much. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all tomorrow. Have a great Thursday.